This is DW News, and these are our top stories. The U.S. has filed a landmark antitrust lawsuit against Google. It alleges that the tech giant has been abusing its dominance in online search to stifle competition and harm consumers. It's the U.S. government's most significant action to protect competition since a groundbreaking case against Microsoft more than 20 years ago. In Nigeria, protests against police brutality in the commercial capital, Lagos, have turned violent. Witnesses say police shot at least two protesters in the Lekki district, and a DW team on the ground there has confirmed hearing gunshots. Thousands of protesters defied a 24-hour curfew imposed earlier on Tuesday after attacks on police stations. Bolivia's president-elect Luis Arce says there will be no role in his government for former president Evo Morales. Arce won Sunday's election, allowing the socialists to return to office. Morales governed for almost 14 years before resigning under pressure last year and fleeing the country. But he remains leader of the Socialist Party. This is DW News from Berlin. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at DW News or visit our website dw.com.
In exactly 2 weeks, the United States will hold an election the likes of which it has never seen. A combination of early voting along with mail-in and absentee ballots means two things. There is more time to cast a ballot, and it will take more time to count them all. If early voting is an indicator, Joe Biden will become the 46th president with a comfortable margin of victory. How likely is a Donald Trump comeback? Is a second Trump electoral college win? Is that possible? Tonight, we crunch the numbers. I'm Brent Goff in Berlin. This is The Day.
We're going to win four more years in the White House, and we're going to keep it going.
Trump is the greatest president ever.
Look, we're seeing the sentiment for Trump in our area larger than it was 4 years ago.
It's very late for President Trump to try to change the trajectory of the race.
And you know what? We win Wisconsin. We win the whole ballgame.
I think Trump is the best man we have ever had.
Unfortunately, the coronavirus happened, and so we're on a downfall.
He owns the state of the nation, which is in the midst of a pandemic that is not going away.
Also coming up, a search engine so ubiquitous, its name is a verb. Every day, almost everyone Googles something. Tonight, try searching these terms: Google, U.S. Department of Justice, and landmark lawsuit.
According to the Wall Street Journal, 90% of all internet searches go through Google. That is power. And it comes with responsibility.
Today, Google is more than a search engine. We are a global company that's committed to building products for everyone.
And to our viewers watching on PBS in the United States and to all of you around the world, welcome. We begin the day with the politics of patience, lots of patience. That is what politicians and voters alike will need beginning November 3rd, Election Day in the United States. We are all used to those marathon presidential campaigns, but this year, the election itself has morphed into an election season. Early voting is already taking place, and once Election Day is over, the tallying of mail-in ballots and absentee ballots will last days, perhaps weeks. I have covered U.S. elections since 1992, and this is the first time that the media is bracing for an election night with no clear winner. Patience may be a virtue, but it is not one many of us have in abundance. Hence, the search for clues in the information we already have. Early voters, they may not be electoral oracles, but in 2020, they do provide us with some important clarity. In just a moment, we will pore over the data and ask, what do these numbers portend for Donald Trump and Joe Biden? But first, the messaging from both campaigns on this Tuesday, 2 weeks before Election Day.
We are rounding the turn. We have the vaccines coming and all, but even without, we're rounding the turn. People are pandemicked out. You know that? They're pandemicked out. That's why it's so great what your governor's done. He's opened up your state. You're doing great. We pioneered life's, and by the way, You get it? You know, like I say, here I am. I'm here. And now I'm immune. I can jump into this audience and kiss every man and woman. I'm immune.
Donald Trump was informed in January 28th, of the nature of this pandemic. He was informed that it was lethal in proportion. It would kill 5 times as many people as the flu. He was informed it could hurt children. He was informed that it was contagious and airbound. And what did he do? He stood at rallies and he stood before the American people and he didn't tell you what he knew.
All right, with 2 weeks to go, let's bring in Tom Bonier. He's a Democratic political strategist, also the CEO of the political data company Target Smart. Tom, welcome to the day. Before we dive into early voting numbers, let's pull out far and wide for a moment. What is your data telling you about the importance of the COVID-19 pandemic in this election?
It's by far the most important issue. It's impacting how people vote, both in terms of the mode of voting, but also their vote choice. We're seeing it have a huge impact and has really reshuffled the deck in this election.
We've seen early voting on an unprecedented scale. Already, some 30 million votes have been cast, and yet predicting the outcome has never been so difficult. That's what we've been hearing this entire season. Why is that?
Well, there's just so much more uncertainty than we've ever had before. As you say, over 30 million votes cast early. And while that's a massive number, that's approaching the total number of early votes we saw in all of 2016, and we still have 2 weeks to go, it's going to potentially triple by Election Day. And we're looking at a turnout record. So there's uncertainty in how these people are voting to the extent that some of these votes will not be counted. There are numerous legal challenges that are still in play and will be in play through and perhaps beyond Election Day, and a lot of uncertainty about turnout. Will the president's supporters turn out on Election Day as he insists they will?
Well, you know, despite these uncertainties, what picture can we paint so far? I mean, who are these voters, these early voters? What's driving them to cast their ballots early?
Well, so we've got a really interesting picture at this point. Again, with over 30 million ballots cast, it's a pretty good sample to get a sense of where the enthusiasm lies, at least at this point. And what we're seeing is that the early vote, the people who have voted so far, certainly lean Democratic. Based on our models, it looks like the Democrats have about a 13-point advantage at this point. Again, that's not suggesting exactly how they will vote, but just looking at their generic partisanship. The people are voting. It's really across the spectrum. We've seen a huge increase in younger voters, a traditional Democratic constituency. But on the other end of the range, we've also seen a huge increase in seniors voting, which certainly makes sense as people who are perhaps the most threatened and at risk. They're taking advantage of these opportunities to cast a safe ballot. And what we have seen is that these senior voters certainly are favoring Joe Biden much more than they did Secretary Hillary Clinton in 2016. So they have the opportunity to really swing this election, especially in key states like Florida and Arizona, where they make up a huge share of the vote and have been a huge share of the early vote.
Yeah, that's fascinating, this senior surge that you're talking about. And with so many of these early voters being Democrats and voting for Joe Biden, shouldn't that boost confidence within the Joe Biden campaign?
You know, I think anyone who lived through the 2016 election is not going to have a lot of confidence at this point in terms of the models, the probabilistic scores that say what percent chance he has of winning, because we saw that in 2016 and we saw them fail. Even in the polling, there's uncertainty about whether or not those polls are accurately predicting turnout. Again, Republicans say they're going to come out in record numbers on Election Day. And really, there's no way to tell if that's true until it happens. So based on that uncertainty, you're seeing no one take anything for granted at this point on either side.
Let's consider the battleground states for a moment. These are the states that will decide this election. And for our viewers, we've put together a list here. The states considered a toss-up are Florida, Iowa, Ohio, Georgia, Maine, North Carolina. Battleground states that are leaning Democratic are Michigan, Minnesota, Nebraska's 2nd District, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Nevada, and Arizona. And the one battleground state leaning Republican tonight is Texas. Now, with only that one state leaning Republican, Tom, does that spell doom for Donald Trump?
It spells a very difficult path to reelection. He obviously won by the narrowest of margins in 2016, about 80,000 votes across three states, three of the closest states, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. As you said, those states look a good bit worse for him at this point, certainly still very much in play. But the landscape is more dire for him at this point in those states. And also, he's playing defense, as you noted, in a lot of states that he didn't have to defend last time, like Arizona, like Texas, like Georgia, like North Carolina. And seeing that many states in play, he's really going to have to be able to run the perfect campaign from here on out, a very disciplined campaign. And unfortunately, that hasn't been his strength.
Well, Tom, is there a state or a group of states that Trump must carry if he wants to reach that magical number of 270 electoral college votes?
Well, he certainly can't afford to lose these states that he won last time because he did win by the most narrow margin. So looking at states like Florida, Arizona, Texas, Georgia, North Carolina, you know, he could lose one of those, at least the smaller ones among those. Mm-hmm. He can't lose two of them. And then he'd also have to repeat his performance through the Midwest in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. And again, looking at the early vote data there, the Democrats are coming out in record-breaking numbers at this point. So he's going to find himself in a pretty deep hole come Election Day.
Back in 2016, Hillary Clinton, she won the popular vote, about 3 million more votes than Trump. Is a repeat this year possible? I mean, could Trump win the Electoral College and the election and lose the popular vote to Biden by more than 3 million?
To me, the popular vote isn't in question. I don't think there's anyone that you would find on the Trump campaign who could argue with a straight face that he has an opportunity to win the popular vote. So then it becomes a question of, as you say, can he win the Electoral College? And certainly, just based on the bias we've seen in the Electoral College towards these smaller states, there is a path where he could lose by more than he lost in 2016. I mean, we're looking at turnout that could exceed 155 or 160 million votes, which is massive. So he could lose by a larger margin than he did in 2016 in the popular vote. And if he does everything right and wins those close key states, still win the Electoral College.
And it would be another shock for the world watching and observing this election, that is for sure. Tom Bonier, Democratic political strategist with Target Smart. Target Smart has a great website, folks. We use it all the time to look at the numbers. I can highly recommend it. Tom, we appreciate your time and your insights tonight. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, the timing and the target are both remarkable. Today, just 2 weeks before the U.S. presidential election, the Trump administration filed a landmark antitrust lawsuit against the search engine giant Google. It alleges the company is abusing its dominance of online searches to fend off rivals. Google controls about 90% of global web searches. The company has long denied claims of unfair competition. The lawsuit also alleges that Google uses billions of dollars to pay phone manufacturers to ensure that it is the default search engine on those phones' browsers. This is the U.S. government's most significant antitrust case since it sued Microsoft more than 20 years ago. Well, for more on this, I'm happy to welcome to the day Jennifer Huddleston. She's the Director of Technology and Innovation Policy at the conservative think tank, the American Action Forum. Jennifer, it's good to have you on the day. Is an antitrust case against Google, is it the right way to go forward here? I mean, isn't Google's business model vindicated by the fact that it is the search engine of choice for most people?
This antitrust case is the latest in a series of different events that have been happening that have been kind of part of a broader tech lash against these big tech companies from both the left and the right. We've seen calls to use